Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Horticulture Week podcast. I'm Horticulture Week editor Matthew Appleby, and today I'm with Richard Jackson of Richard Jackson Garden. Now, Richard uniquely won a Horticulture Week Garden Retail Lifetime Achievement Award in 2016 and a Garden Media Guild Lifetime Achievement Award in 2017. He founded the Green Fingers charity in 1998. He founded the Garden Press event in 2006, and he's worked with Hillier, Knockcuts, Fison's, and as a journalist and broadcaster for, amongst other people, News of the World, QVC, and on many radio and TV programmes. So, welcome, Richard.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Excellent. Now, I'd just like to ask you a little bit more about your background in the industry. Where did it all start?
Do you know, it was a bit of a fluke I ever got involved in gardening in the first place. I mean, I love gardening since the age of eight, and I was working with my granddad up in Yorkshire, and he was showing me some strawberry plants, and then I spotted this luscious red strawberry, and he said, well, that's one you've helped me grow. And I said, what's it? And so he said, try it. And Matt, I picked up this sun-ripened, wonderful, luscious-looking strawberry, ate it, and that was it. Age eight, I've been hooked on gardening ever since then. It was fantastic. So soon after that, I went home and I bought a greenhouse, and I started growing bedding plants and growing plants like bird of paradise from seed. Absolutely loved it. And that was until I was around 12, and I used to grow bedding plants for pocket money. But then I hit my sort of teenage years and there were other interests. And I ended up at Southampton University doing ecology. And in the third years, you know, students, you're looking around for jobs. And I saw a job advertised for Hilliers of Winchester. And I went along and met Brian, who's the head of the production area. And he offered me a job. And it sounded great because it was with plants and I love plants. But then he told me the salary, and it was less than I was getting as a student. I said, oh, I can't do this. You know, horticulture isn't for me. So I went off, joined a bank, did it for 2 weeks, absolutely hated it. So I rang up Brian and said, look, can I join you at Hilliers? And he said, yeah. So I joined the mobile gang. And it was a choice, really. It was heart over head. And so I followed my heart. I joined the mobile gang, which was an international group in the back of Rentry Hostel. And they went out and dug up trees in the winter, and we planted berberis around Easter time with our bare hands. So it was a hell of an experience, learning curve. But one of the amazing things that happened when I was there was that the Arboretum was just over the other side of the road from Brentree Hostel, and Roy Lancaster was the curator. And Roy used to take us round in his spare time around looking at all these plants, and it was incredible. And I saw him with kids, and he would sort of shimmy up eucalyptus trees and pretend to be a koala bear. He would jump out of bamboo and pretend to be a tiger. And he would talk to us, all these students, and say, look, this is gardening at its best. And that's when I really turned on to gardening. And that was it. It was the start of my gardening career in sort of in earnest. And so from that, the mobile gang, I went to Fison's, and I was assistant in charge of grow bags. And I learned all about marketing from a great team, including Stuart Kitchen and John Ashley. I went to Knotcuts because I wanted to learn more about plants. So I worked for Stuart Veach, who was a brilliant guy. Knotcuts had 6 garden centres then, and we were supplying the plants to the garden centres, mainly via Knotcuts nurseries. But that then was a turning point for me because I saw an advert. Because I did a tiny bit of work in the garden centre, and I ran a garden centre for about 2 weeks for Knotcuts when the garden centre manager was away. And I saw an advert. It was actually in Hawk Week, and they were looking for someone to set up a garden centre from scratch as an employment and training project for long-term unemployed youngsters in London. And it was Camden Garden Centre. They wanted to start that off. It's a joint enterprise between Camden Council and the Wellcome Foundation. And I applied and got the job, and that was amazing. I was joined by Adam Kaplan, a brilliant guy, a real dynamo and plant enthusiast. And we set up Camden Garden Centre. We took on the multiracial, multinational group of youngsters, all of whom had been long-term unemployed, trained them up, and set up this garden centre from scratch on the basis of a £100,000 overdraft facility.
Wow. Well, some people then called you the Jamie Oliver of gardening, as we've seen Jamie Oliver now, you know, enthusing young people into the industry. And you mentioned getting young people in. When you went as a graduate, and I guess people like Hillier would dearly love more graduates to come in now. So what can you do to get those graduates to be attracted to horticulture now?
That's an interesting question, because there are so many people out there looking at all these different job opportunities. And I know, you know, the HTA and people like that and the RHS have done a lot to encourage people into horticulture, but we need to do more to let them know what a brilliant industry it is. And also, we've got to look at salaries. Salaries need to be higher to attract people. I almost didn't get into gardening in the first place because it was such a lousy starting salary. And you know, even now, Matt, you look at some of the head gardeners doing these amazing jobs working for the National Trust and private gardens, and they're working sort of 7 days a week, and they're being paid a pittance. They're being given some accommodation, and they're not earning really a proper living from it. So the industry needs to wake up and pay more.
No, indeed it does. Now, you moved into some pretty high-profile roles after that, including gardening columnists for the News of the World and with QVC, but with News of the World, do you have any entertaining tales from your days back working with them?
Oh, that's an unfair question. I got the job thanks to Peter Seabrook, who recommended me to them, and so I'm forever grateful to Peter. At the time, the News of the World was the widest read publication, I think, in the whole of Europe. And so we had something like 10 million readers. It was an extraordinary place. And what I loved about it was this connection with the readers, because we could write 1 week about something and the demand, the interest in what we're talking about. There was a packet I wrote about a particular sort of climbing plant, slightly unusual one. And I said, we can actually give a few packets of seeds away if anyone would like them. And 25,000 people wrote in for that packet of seeds, or those packets of seeds. And the guys who were supplying them actually managed to source enough seeds to send out to everyone. So the response to the column was amazing. I got into awful trouble once because I was writing, I think it was with Jacob McVicar, about sort of herbal remedies. Fascinating, sort of some of these plants that could use in different ways. You know, you can use them as sort of table cleansers. You can use them as a mosquito deterrent. So the old-fashioned herbal remedies. But she happened to mention in passing that one of them was a herbal Viagra. So, of course, I wrote about that in News of the World. And poor old Jekka was flooded with these slightly dubious phone calls and letters and things, people wanting this herbal Viagra. And she never let me forget it.
Excellent. Fantastic story there. Now, getting more up to date, you've entered the garden centre market with your own range, and you won a couple of GEMA awards very recently. So can you tell us a bit more about your new range?
Oh, well, I mean, it was an amazing experience, and totally unexpected. I mean, for a number of years, I've been fortunate enough to bring a range of products to QVC. And at the outset, when we introduced the products, we based them on professional proven products being used by commercial growers. So basically, you know, generally in gardening and most retailing, there's good, better, best categories. We wanted the best category. We wanted proven performers. And so for a number of years, we've been selling products like Flower Power, which is my fertilizer, high potash fertilizer, which is coming up to the 15th anniversary of that, incidentally. So looking forward to that next year. But we tended to concentrate on the standard lines for gardeners in standards of hopefully nice packaging, so echoing very much what's been in the garden industry. But during lockdown, we began to realise, you know, there's a brand new market, and I know you've been talking about it, the 3 million new gardeners. And the boom of the houseplant industry at the same time made us realise that perhaps there's a new niche for interesting but beautifully packaged garden products. Products that looked as good as they worked. And sort of products, because, I mean, a lot of the gardening products are as dull as ditch water, and they're actually quite ugly. So, you know, if you had them in the home, you'd hide them under the kitchen sink. We wanted something you could put out there with pride because it looked nice. It looked like those wonderful sort of beauty products as well. And so that's why we introduced the Plantsmith range, and it was inspired by my son Nick, who's really into houseplants now. So we introduced it last autumn, and it started to get a bit of traction in February. So John Lewis took it, the Royal Horticultural Society took it, and we thought, well, let's enter it into GEMA, the GEMA Awards. And boy, I mean, it was brilliant because we won the Garden Products Award and also the Garden Clothing and Gift Category Award. And so it was extraordinary, our first sort of tentative step into the industry, and we won. So we were chuffed to bits.
And what do you think that's going to mean for the range and in terms of penetration into garden centres?
Well, it's been great. We've had a lovely response already, and so a lot more people are talking to us, and so the publicity we've got from winning the award has been tremendous. We will expand the range, and we're also going to expand the Flower Power range, but what we're really doing is we've sold on QVC, and you know, maybe we get the chance to talk later about QVC because it's an extraordinary selling machine. But we wanted to bring our products to a wider audience. So we've gone to, we're selling on our website now, we're selling on Amazon, and going into bricks and mortar mean we become a multi-channel retailer, which is the way forward for us and lots of other people. But one of the interesting things with Plantsmith is its premium price, its premium presentation. So a bottle of the feed sells for about $14.99. And it's really interesting because one or two garden centres have come back to us and said, oh, it's too expensive. Well, I think they've sort of somehow missed the point because we're selling to a younger, more style-conscious audience to begin with. It's a product which is a gift purchase and it's also one for day-to-day gardeners. But if a garden centre is going to sell a pack of houseplant feed, they could sell something like Baby Bio or Performance Organics, and they could sell that for about £4 or so. I don't know how much money they'd make on that, their cash profit, about £2 or so. But if they sell ours, they'll be making about £6, you know, because of the margins. So it's extraordinary. Garden centres sometimes have slightly, to my mind, old-fashioned thinking. And it's partly indicative of the garden centres and the industry selling too cheaply, and we don't do ourselves any favour. I think Plantsmith is raising the bar.
No, sounds like it is to me. And I was at the GEMA Awards, and it certainly went down very well, your wins. Now, you mentioned QVC. You've worked with QVC for many years, so how does that work?
Do you know, I started with QVC. I was doing Radio 5 at the time, and the presenter, John Briggs, said, oh, there's a new channel starting up called QVC. Why don't you come along and look at it? And I went along and talked to them about it. So about 3 months after they opened, this was about 26 years ago, they invited me to come along on a Saturday afternoon. And I had an hour selling six garden tools. Yeah, and if you imagine it, Matt, you're spending about 10 minutes talking about the attributes of a garden fork. So it was extraordinary. I thought, as dull as ditch water, I thought, when I was doing it. And at the end of the show, the buyer came out and said, that was tremendous, we've done really well, we've sold £300 worth of product. I said, £300? I thought, this isn't ever going to last. But extraordinarily enough, as QVC got more products in and it got more, maybe it got less American, it got more sort of anglicised, it began to take off and it got better and better and better. So what fascinated me is when I was, say, in a garden centre and selling plants or products, I could talk for, say, 5 minutes to one customer. But on QVC, I could be talking to literally tens of thousands of customers saying the same thing, but to a much wider audience. And that was fascinating. But also, you could demonstrate, you could show, if you're showing a planting membrane, you could show how a planting membrane works. So you weren't, in the garden centre, it's often the static cell. QVC, it was a live cell, and you could show the benefits. And that was fun. So I loved that bit. Gradually, QVC got more confidence in the garden market, and I ended up with being the guest presenter and the gardening presenter, and I had my own shows called Richard Jackson's Garden, and they gave us eventually the prime slot Saturday morning and Sunday morning for 2 hours, Saturday and Sunday, and we became the most watched programmes on QVC. But what was amazing was actually the power of QVC. I remember talking to a lady called Sandy Worth who had, she'd introduced Super Poppies, a new range of ever-blooming Oriental-type poppies. And she said, you know, I've sold 5,000 plants a year, 2-litre plants a year. So I talked to her, we brought these plants to QVC. We sold them as plugs, as slightly larger plugs. We sold in one day 250,000 of these plugs. And she was saying, I can sell 5,000 2-litre plants in a year, but I've sold 250,000 plugs in one day. So the power of QVC is absolutely phenomenal, and it still continues to be a force to be reckoned with. It's extraordinary.
No, brilliant. So what are you doing with them these days?
Well, I stepped back a couple of years ago. My choice, I wanted time off, to be honest. I couldn't continue to do virtually every Saturday and Sunday, as well as do everything else. So I'm now continuing to do my my range of products, my flower power range of products, on QVC, and handed over to Michael Perry and worked very closely with him, and he's doing an excellent job. So it's Michael Perry's garden, and more recently Mark Lane has joined as well, and he's brilliant as well, and again another joy to work with. So I'm actually sort of tending now just to go on to QVC to sell the flower power range.
I see. And how do you see that balance between the multi-channels panning out in the gardening market? Because you're involved in all of it, aren't you, now? The garden centre, the TV, online. How do you think that's going to work out in the end?
I mean, I love the balance of it. You know, with QVC, we had all our eggs in one basket. And so if QVC decided they didn't want to do something, we were slightly scuppered. Or if they wanted a lot more of something, we couldn't produce it because we're having to produce so far in advance. But by having different outlets for our products, it's safer for us, we're reaching a wider audience, so everybody's a winner. So that's what I love about it, and I think it's going to continue. You can see the success of YouGarden, you can see the success of, say, Thompson & Morgan. And it's quite interesting that people like Miracle-Gro are sort of trying out little things, Westland are as well. So I think what's going to happen in the future is a lot of these sort of manufacturers who've just looked at the one route to market as such, bricks and mortar, are going to be much more aware of and conscious of the importance of multi-channel retailing. And I think garden centres are increasingly aware of that as well. So I actually think it's really exciting the way it's going. So we've got all these different ways to tell people about gardening, our products, and the wider the audience, the wider the reach, the better for everybody.
No, indeed. So have you got new ranges planned for next year?
Yes, we have. I mean, we're sort of unlike, say, normal manufacturers in that, you know, they bring out loads every time at Glee. We bring out two or three a year. And again, they tend to be based on commercial products which have been tried and tested by professional growers. And we, in a way, we call it like the salon solution. You go into a professional hairdresser's and they have products they use, and they are, you know, they occasionally sell them to their customers. we're trying to do the same thing with gardening. So we're taking the best, the tried, tested, trusted products from the commercial sector and bring them and make them available to home gardeners. So we've got a couple coming up next year, which is quite fun. And I can't really say much about it yet because I've got to be launched next year, Matt. There's one in particular I'm very excited about. It's based on some stuff that's been happening in Europe. Extraordinary stuff, sort of, it's cutting edge sort of technology and with proven success. And it's natural as well, which is one of the ways forward.
Oh, well, watch this space on that. So a bit more about your thoughts on the future of the industry. You mentioned natural there. Where do you see the trends going in terms of what people want to buy?
It's really interesting, this, because, you know, I've been hanging around in the industry for years, as you know, and there are always sort of changes happening. But I think there are a number of things. I mean, greener and sustainable is the way forward, whether it's things like plant pots. And there's a feature in Hawk Week recently talking about plant pots, more recyclable pots, more compostable pots. That's so important. Obviously, peat-free is the way forward. We've got a great peat-free compost, which is gaining traction now, and I'm very pleased with it, having done lots of trials in the back garden first with it. So greener, more sustainable, more diversity as well. When we set up Camden Garden Centre years ago, we had a really diverse mix of kids. We had Eric from Nigeria, David, and we had Christine, I think, from Barbados. We had an amazing group of people. Incidentally, all of those kids we took on for the first 2 years at Camden all went on to long-term jobs. And Camden, as you know, is still very, very successful. So that's brilliant. So more diversity. And obviously the RHS with Sue Biggs and the media with people like Danny Clark coming to prominence. It's all happening, but we need to be more diverse in our industry. And at the GEAM Awards the other day, it was wonderful to be there. But it was very sort of white and middle class, I felt. So, yeah, we need to get more people into the industry, more diverse. More social responsibility as well. I think that's a way forward. Some of these big companies got to do more. They've got to link in with sort of consumer groups. They've got to link in with community projects and charities. With Greenfingers, I mean, we've linked up recently with Miracle-Gro and Ames and people like that who've done a lot with us. But hopefully they benefit as much from the link with the charity as much as we, the charity, do. But I think companies have got to show more awareness of the community and charities as well. And it does them good. And also more partnerships. There's a lot happening in the industry at the moment. I think sometimes we ought to consolidate and bring together different skills. So I think that's going to happen. It may be companies being taken over and swallowed up, but it may be sort of people like us working with some of the bigger manufacturers and saying, OK, you go into the garden centre with your range, but we'll take your range, adapt it and take it in different directions. So I think that's really an exciting way forward as well. So really the future, I think greener, more sustainable gardening, more diversity, more social responsibility and more partnerships.
Brilliant. Oh, well, that is a good look into what might happen soon, sooner rather than later, possibly. So just to finish up, Richard, after that fascinating insight into your experience of the gardening world, we always ask our guests, what is your desert island plant? If there's one plant you could end up marooned with on a desert island, what would it be?
It's such a tricky one. Matt, I'm assuming it's going to be a temperate climate because I can't cope if it's tropical because I won't be able to grow the plants I really want to. So I'm assuming it's temperate. So my first thought was actually a lovely lavender called Melissa Lilac, which I really adore. It's got the fragrance. It's got that wonderful pale lilac colour. But the other reason I'd have it there is to sort of rub the lavender leaves on my arms to keep the mozzies away, which is something Jekka McVicar taught me about. But then I decided the plant I'm going to take is quite a sort of, it's absolute beauty. It ought to be better known about. I mean, lots of gardeners know it, but it's not known by the wider public. The snowy mespalus, or Amelanchier lamarckii, which is an extraordinary plant for all seasons. In the spring, you get these incredible white flowers, followed by bronzy leaves that turn green during the summer. Then you get the berries, which the birds can come and eat from. So you get the birds coming down and eating. I'll be lying underneath it, drinking a pina colada or something, while the birds come and eat these berries. And then this fabulous autumn colour, so fiery reds and oranges. And in the winter, you get this incredible tracery of branches. So it really is a plant for all seasons. But the other reason that I'd grow it is it's one of the very first plants recommended to me by Roy Lancaster. And so if I had it there, I'd be enjoying it all year round, but also it would be bringing back very happy memories at the time that I really got into gardening.
Superb. So practical, beautiful and nostalgic too. And it's been great talking to you, Richard. It's been a really amazing insight into your horticulture career, and also a look into what might happen in the future from someone who's been at the forefront of what's been going on in gardening for many years now. So thank you very much to Richard Jackson. I'm Matthew Appleby, I'm Horticulture Week editor, and this has been the Horticulture Week podcast. Make sure you never miss one. Subscribe to or follow Horticulture Week podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Google Podcasts, or your preferred podcast platform. And if you're interested in producing a podcast with Hort Week, contact me, matthew.appleby@haymarket.com. So until next time, thanks very much.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.